Now we read God's word together in the Gospel according to Luke, Luke chapter 2 at verse 41. Luke chapter 2 at verse 41. And it's page 1029 in the Pew Bible. Reading from verse 41. Every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. God will bless to us the reading of his word. And to his name be the glory and the praise. Now let us pray. God our Father, we ask that in the power of your Holy Spirit, you would draw near to us for this quiet moment with your word. And we pray that it would enable us to see our Saviour Christ more clearly, to learn more of his ways with us, and to go forward with a surer sense of his presence and his peace. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Friends, the poet Elizabeth Jennings has a poem which is quite simply called Christmas. And in this poem, she takes on the persona of a wee boy who is looking forward to Christmas with great excitement. He's making all the preparations that have to be made, and he has great anticipation of all the gifts that he's going to receive. But when the day arrives, he tells us in the poem, "Things all go wrong. My thoughts don't seem to fit. I had dreamt that everything would come to life, presents and people too. Instead of that, I am dumb." It was a day when things all went wrong. He had great expectations of the day, but when he looked around him, he realized that nothing much had changed. He hadn't changed, his family hadn't changed, and the world hadn't changed. And I think perhaps if we're honest with ourselves, friends, we know that feeling. We know the sense of anticlimax, the sense of letdown when we actually arrive at Christmas Day. I remember many years ago, a young woman saying to me around this time of the year that she always cried on Christmas Day. She said she always expected something to happen, but it never did. And I think that's understandable in many ways. When you think of what we do at this time of the year and what the church does at this time of the year, we, in a sense, project this very unusual story into the community, and we call upon the world to celebrate it with us. The story of a miraculous birth, the story of an angel bringing a message from God to the earth, The story of a mysterious star travelling across the sky. It's a story where miraculous things seem to happen at the blink of an eye. It's a powerful story. And I believe it can change people. I believe that when people come into contact with this story, attitudes can change, whole lives can change. But that all depends upon this one thing, that we can grow an appreciation of exactly who it was who was born on Christmas Day and what his destiny was as the Saviour of the world. The story only has its power when we realize that this was the Son of God who came to earth to save humankind. And it's a story that we can't just bring out once a year and focus on in a sentimental way. It's a story that we need to think about constantly, because it's something that with our finite minds, we will never get our heads around it totally. This central truth of the Christian faith, that the Word became flesh and lived as a part of the human family. God became a human being in Jesus Christ. And in the end, friends, I believe that perhaps our calling is this, to just to stand before this truth and to pray that in His grace, God would lead us more deeply into the significance of it all. And I believe that that can happen for us. I believe that we can grow in our appreciation of the birth of Jesus amongst us. I believe that we can increase our understanding of what happened on that first Christmas. But we have to take our lead from the passage that we read together earlier from the Gospel according to Luke. We read there at verse 33 that when Jesus went down to Nazareth with Mary and Joseph, He was obedient to them, and He grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus grew in wisdom. Just like anyone else at the age He was at that time, 12 years old, He had to learn things, and He had to reflect upon what He had learned. And eventually would come that moment when He became aware of who He was and what God had sent Him to the world to accomplish. I've always been fascinated by this whole thing, friends, if I can just use this as a wee aside. You know, at what point did Jesus become aware of who He was? And how did this happen? How was He brought to the place where He realized that He was the Son of God and that He had this crucial role to play in the history of humankind? Well, I believe that some of the influences that we see in that passage that we read from Luke's Gospel, I believe that some of the influences that we see there had a role to play in leading Jesus to that moment where the light went on in His head and in His soul, and He knew who He was, and He knew what it was He had been sent to this world to accomplish. And friends, we can increase our understanding, and we can also increase our appreciation of the gift of God's Son in the midst of our human experience, if we can make a connection with the different influences that were bearing on the mind and the heart of Jesus from the very beginning of His life. That way, I believe that we become a people who don't have unrealistic expectations about any particular time of the year. And we become a people who are aware of God with us in every circumstance. A people who live our lives with a sense of wonder as to what God has accomplished for us. A people who face the challenge of all that. God has come to us. So now, so what for me? I believe that like Jesus, friends, we can increase our understanding, we can increase our appreciation of our God if we belong to a community of faith. That was one of the most important things for Jesus at the beginning of his life. Very soon, he would come to understand that he belonged to a particular people, a people who worshipped one God. If we start with his parents, we're told that Joseph was a righteous man, that he was always committed to doing what pleased God according to his word. And we know about the devotion of Mary and what a deep spiritual sensitivity this young woman had. He had the best of parents at the very beginning of his life. But then he would begin to understand that he belonged to a wider community of people. He would be taken to the synagogue every Sabbath. And there he would hear the scriptures read and explained. And then from time to time throughout the year, he would see people leaving the village of Nazareth to go to Jerusalem to celebrate one of the three great festivals that God had commanded his people to observe. The festival of the Passover, the festival of Pentecost, the festival of the Tabernacles. It was incumbent on all God's people to gather in Jerusalem to celebrate these great festivals. And that underlined for the people of God that they were a pilgrim people, a people who were constantly traveling towards God, journeying towards God. And it was from God that they had their identity, and it was from God that they had their unity. And so it was at the age of 12, Jesus was taken to the feast of the Passover in Jerusalem. That's what normally happened. The year before, a boy came to the age of responsibility at 13. He would be taken to Jerusalem to see what happened at the Passover. And that would be a time when he would experience an increasing sense of belonging. That he was part of a great people who were called to bear witness to God in the world and to call upon people to live according to his ways. The most crucial lesson at that point for Jesus was to learn that faith was not just a personal and private thing. It wasn't something that was locked away in a compartment of your life and let out at specific times of the year. As part of a pilgrim people who three times a year journeyed up to Jerusalem, he would understand that it was God's will that his people be a people on the move, that he belonged to a great movement of God's Spirit, and that the responsibility of God's people was to bring others to worship at the throne of the God of Israel. Now all of that, friends, was part of Jesus' formation as a man, but it was also part of his formation as the Messiah. The day would come when he would realize that he was to emerge from this particular people and to do the work which would enable them to walk closer to their God and to fulfill their destiny. And the lesson there for us, friends, if we are intent on understanding more and appreciating more, then we have to retain our connection to the people of God. We have to increase our sense of belonging to a community of faith. That is the way forward for us. Where else will we worship? Where else will we receive teaching? Where else will we receive a sense of our identity and also our destiny? If we want to stay close to our God, if we want to fulfill our destiny as God's people, then we have to stay within a community of faith. That's one of the influences that enabled Jesus to grow in his wisdom. But like Jesus, friends, we also have to respect the traditions of our faith, because that is plainly another influence that was acting upon him from a very early age. One or two of you have told me that you were watching David Suchet, the actor, just before Christmas, and the two programs he had on the life and teaching of the Apostle Paul, and very impressive it was in many ways. But there was one particular moment where David Suchet was taken underneath the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, the remnant of the temple, and shown the foundations of that ancient building. And the amazement and the joy and the wonder in that man's face, I don't think was just for the benefit of the cameras. He slapped the foundations and he said, "They've been here for thousands of years." And that is the way that the people of God regarded their foundations, Israel's foundations, the foundations of the faith. They weren't things that had been created by men, by human beings. The foundations had been established by God himself and given to his people. They had the holy city of Jerusalem, which was a microcosm of the community of Israel itself. They had the temple where heaven and earth came together, in a sense. And they also had these ancient festivals which spoke to them about God's love and God's faithfulness. These were the things that held Israel up. These were the things that sustained Israel. And Jesus would increase in his appreciation of all of this. We're told that every Sabbath day he was in the synagogue. I often wonder what the rabbi would have thought if he knew who was sitting there in the pew. The Son of God. Every Sabbath he was in the synagogue. If Jesus needed teaching on that regular basis, how much more do we need it? But he also appreciated the Passover. We know that he attended the Passover constantly throughout his life. And he had a high regard for the temple. We see Jesus teaching in the temple and getting really upset throughout his life when the temple was in any way misused. All of this, friends, the people of Israel believed this was the foundation of the faith. These were the traditions of God's people, and God had given us all of these things. And that was part of Jesus' formation as a man, and part also of his formation as Messiah. Now, what are our foundations as God's people in this day and age, in this community, in this nation, in the world? What are our foundations? Well, they're connected with the foundations that Jesus appreciated and upon which he built. We have the foundation of the church. And whatever the shortcomings of the church in so many ways, Jesus said, "This is my church. I will build my church. That is one of our foundations. Worship also, not an option for a believing people. How else do we keep the flame of faith burning? Oh yes, we can pray and read our Bibles on our own, but Jesus said there is a particular value in two or three people gathering together in His name. And there is prayer, which is only possible when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and directs our souls towards God. And there are the sacraments, which Jesus Himself instituted and called upon us to observe. Do this in memory of me, He said at the Lord's Supper. All of this we used to call the means of grace. Those things that God can work through to bring us closer to Himself and to enable us to fulfill our destiny as Christian people. If we wish to realize the presence of God, if we wish to know His love, then we have to build our lives on those foundations. No one's saying that they act like magic. Just do them and everything will happen for you. No one's saying that. But what the means of grace do is they create a space for God to work in our lives, to impress His will upon our deeper being, and to lead us forward. Friends, we increase our understanding and our appreciation by belonging to a community of faith, by respecting the traditions of the faith, all of which Jesus did, but also, finally, to being committed to the Word, which is at the center of the faith. I'm really grateful to a theologian who teaches at St. Andrews University now, a man named Tom Wright, who wrote a book about Jesus a few years ago. I only read it recently. But it was amazing how he hits upon the role of the Scriptures in forming in Jesus' mind and in His soul His identity and His destiny. The image of Jesus poring over the ancient Scriptures and the prophecies, and at some point realizing that all of this was coming together in Him. As a wee boy, he attended the synagogue. And as a young man, he attended the synagogue every Sabbath and heard the Scriptures read and heard them explained. He would also have come under the tutelage of a rabbi at an early age, where again, the Scriptures would be read and explained and questions could be asked. And he would become more and more aware of the great hope of Israel, that one day there would be a light in the darkness, one day there would be a stream of living water in the deadness of the world. And here we see Jesus making a connection with the Word in our reading this morning. Because we're told that after that gap of 3 days, when who knows what Mary and Joseph were thinking, they found Him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. The temple courts were where teaching was given concerning the written Word, concerning the law of God. The temple courts were further into the future, the place where Jesus Himself would provide teaching for all those who would listen. So Jesus is being constantly exposed to the written Word of God until that moment, when He realized that it was all coming together in Him. even now, as a 12-year-old, when an exasperated Mary says to him, "What were you thinking of? Did you not realize that we were getting out of our heads with worry?" And he says, "Well, I don't understand why you're so upset. Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" Not just sitting there in silent contemplation, but in his Father's house, soaking up the written and preached word. And friends, that gives us a pattern to follow. If we're seeking to go forward in our faith, seeking to understand more, seeking to appreciate more, seeking to strengthen our identity as a people and also to be more effective in our witness as God's people, then we have to take our lead from that 12-year-old Jesus. Where else would I be but in my Father's house, open to His Word, embracing His Word, seeking to understand and appreciate more? Friends, you know that the Apostle Paul, he once spoke of Christians having the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. The way that he writes this, it's as if he's taken it for granted. We have the mind of Christ. And how is the mind of Christ formed in us? Well, he explains that. He says the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and implants it deep in your spiritual core. And that becomes the motivation for your thoughts and for your actions. If we are interested in our own self-realization as Christians, if we're seeking to give the fullest expression to our faith, then that has to be our aspiration, friends. To bring our minds to the very mind of Christ. This time of the year doesn't have to be a letdown, you know, for anyone. Because it's an opportunity with us to, an opportunity for us to reacquaint ourselves with the great truth at the very center of our faith, that the Word became flesh and lived amongst us. And that truth can glow in our hearts every day of the new year that stretches before us. It doesn't need to be just something that we pull out for a few weeks at the tail end of the year. That is a truth that can glow within each and every one of us if we will face up to those things that God has given us to keep that glow going. And Jesus would point to those things from a very early time in his life. We need to belong to a community of faith. We need to respect the traditions of the faith. And we also need to be committed to the Word at the very center of our faith. These, friends, were the things that fed the Spirit of Jesus. They are no less imperative for each and every one of us. Let's pray. God, our Father, we give thanks to you for those truths which are a challenge to us, but which you have promised to open up for us, that we might embrace them and that they might become the fuel for our witness as individuals and as a people. So take us forward now and bless us for the sake of Jesus. Amen.